everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
Look at the scene on the field after last night's Jets-Ravens game. Jets players waiting for Lamar Jackson's autograph like pictures with Santa at the mall. Santa, I know him. Also, greatest injury report ever. Day-to-day avocado. There's our paddle. Let's go. Black Santa Claus, don't tell Megyn Kelly, kiddos. There is no such thing as a bad avocado. I don't care how bad it is. I'll eat it all. He was not in bubble wrap. The strained quad was neither strained nor quad. Discuss amongst yourselves. Five touchdowns and the all-time rushing record for quarterbacks, breaking the record held by anybody? Anybody?
Mike Vick.
Miguel.
Incorrect. Santa Claus. Dash away, dash away, dash away. Clinton Yates, I'll start with you. What did Lamar Jackson show you last night? I ask this question every week, but last night, what did he show you?
He showed me exactly how dominant this Ravens offense can be. Not only did he throw five touchdowns, he threw them to five different guys. Seven different guys caught balls. So, you know, if you think about a player who's as dynamic as he is and you think about his running ability, he's not falling in love with anybody on this offense, which has to terrify defenses when you think about how you're trying to game plan against him. I give such credit to James Urban, the quarterback's coach there, and the job he's done. He's actually the same guy who the Eagles brought in to try to help Vic acclimate to their offense when he was there. That's a different story. But this development of Jackson as just a decision maker, never mind the electricity and the throws, it's unbelievable. The guy's the best quarterback in the league. It's not even close.
Woody Page, last night, Lamar do anything for you?
Well, imagine how well he would have played if he didn't have a strained quad. I mean, they couldn't stop him whatsoever. What did I take away from it? In 2013, I saw a quarterback throw for 55 touchdown passes, and I saw all of them. And last night, he surpassed what Peyton Manning did then. I mean, to have over 30 games, the accomplishments he's had, I don't think there's been a better quarterback year that I can remember. Now, whether it's happened or not, I'm sure we can go back in time, see Bart Starr or something, but this is incredible what he's done over that 30-game period with over 4,000 yards passing and 1,500 yards rushing. I mean, who really is going to accomplish that in this league other than him? And that the best pass he threw last night wasn't caught. It was that pass interference in the end zone when he threw it up there and two guys were trying to fall over themselves to interfere on the play. And I think the other thing that I took away is John Harbaugh took him aside when he went to the sideline. And I went, why didn't Lamar just say, hey, dude, I got this covered. Let me know.
Okay. I'm looking forward to your 30 for 30 on this. I mean, you've got a lot of material. But let's not bury the lead there. Woody Page said Lamar Jackson is playing the best any quarterback has ever played in the history of the league, better than Peyton Manning the year you covered in 2013. Sarah Spain, how do you see Lamar?
Well, you asked what he taught us last night. And for anyone who hasn't caught up yet, I think the numbers are there now to say, stop talking about him as a running quarterback. Sure, he beat Mike Vick's rushing record, but he also has more passing yards than Vick had in that entire season. He has 13 more touchdowns and 7 fewer interceptions and a better passer rating. Now there's still a couple games left, but I'm verklempt over this because we're still talking about him like he's a rushing quarterback. And what we're really seeing is that he's a guy who's passing better than anybody else in the league. He's got 33 touchdowns. That's more than anybody else. And honestly, it wasn't a quad.
Wow, you really committed to it. I appreciate that.
Paul Baldwin making it appear.
It's amazing. Or maybe Grandma Blanche. I mean, Kaplan's with us. Thanks for coming back. I just gave you Grandma's shout out. I love Grandma Blanche.
What, best shout out.
Thank you. What did you see from Lamar Jackson last night?
You know what, Tony? I think my grandma Blanche would agree that I didn't see anything different from him, and I don't feel any different from him today than I did yesterday. Yeah. Look, the Ravens are a team that haven't trailed in the second half since week five. The Orioles last lost a game before the Ravens did most recently. Look, we've already seen that he can prove that he can hit those tight windows. He's improved as a passer. He can hit his receivers outside the numbers. He's been on a collision course with Vic for this record all season. He's the MVP. Okay. He wrapped it up. Right. This is a Super Bowl favorite. Nothing.
And you knew all this going in. That's fine. Something I did not know going in. That's okay. I think it's a fun. Yes, I agree with you 100%. What I didn't know was that Ms. Emily Kaplan has a problem with players asking other players for autographs. You told me this just a few minutes ago. The Jets. I mean, we see this, of course, in soccer. It's awesome when they exchange jerseys. You saw something a little different here, Emily?
Yeah, I did. Firstly, I don't see Lamar Jackson receiving any of these Jets jerseys. It just looks tacky to me. This is like they all signed up for Lamar Jackson's passing camp, and they were told they would get free swag at the end, and they're just lining up. It's like, so lame.
Hot take. Fire take from Kaplan. Sarah Spain, are you there?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, why would he want any of the Jets jerseys? I mean, you name a Jets jersey that you want to take back in exchange.
All right.
I think it's a heady play. Listen, this is going to be worth something. You give him a ring before the game and say you want one of those signed jerseys. You got your Christmas presents taken care of. You got your wall taken care of in your fan cave. Smart. Very smart.
They are all at the Lamar Jackson passing camp. That's the whole point, except it's the actual NFL. That's why this is amazing.
And Woody Page.
Well, Emily's just upset because in hockey that they can't exchange jerseys afterwards because they have puke and sweat and blood all over them, and they're not worth anything.
Okay, and football's any different, Woody?
That makes them more valuable.
Yeah, I don't know where you're going with that, Woody. It's all right. We'll move on. Let's talk some basketball. The game and block from Joel Embiid last night in Boston. Sixers never win in Boston. This was a win for Joel Embiid, and this is the exact game Charles Barkley and Shaq and everybody wants to see from Joel Embiid every night out, that it came seemingly as a response to criticism and that it doesn't happen every night is the mystery here. So let me ask you, last night have you thinking Embiid should be doing that more, or is that too critical and too much of an ask?
I think it's a situation that where he's got to continue to do it. It just can't be a one-night wonder situation. You wonder if he's even going to play in the back-to-back tonight when they're in playing against the Pelicans. Can he repeat that performance with 35 points, maybe 15 rebounds, or is he going to go back to having I watched the game the other night against the Nuggets. He sleepwalked through it. They did win, but he had 22 points. That sounds pretty good, but he could have had 40 against the Joker if he'd won. Wanted to. I just think we need to see it over a span of time. He can't just show up because he was motivated by two guys on TV who played the game. He's got to be motivated by the fact that they're in the situation where they're having a great year, off to a good start, and he's got to actually do better to make them stay in that situation.
Sarah, do you see motivation as a problem for Joel Embiid?
Yeah, it certainly feels like. I think he was not only motivated by these comments, but he had an unusual amount of space. With Al Horford out of there, he had a lot more room to work, and I think that's maybe something that we're seeing in his inability to be quite so dominant. I think it is probably mostly attitude. The problem is, he says himself that they're kind of worrying about whether he'll be healthy for the postseason, and if that's the case, if he always feels like he's sort of half in, half out because he's thinking about the playoffs, he's never going to be 100% during these regular season games, and I would worry if I was the coach that you're going to need to have some sort of call out from someone in order to get this kind of game.
Emily, I'll ask you the same question with a slight twist. Is it fair to wonder about Joel Embiid's motivation every night?
I think it is, because look, the question we're not asking is he the best center in the league? It's, can he be the best center in the league? And last night he showed us he has the capacity to do it. The Sixers were plus 21 when he was on the court and minus 15 when he was off it. The issue is, it's almost like it's self-restraint. He's doing load management of himself because, you know, he's still evolving as a shooter, because he's injury prone, because of his conditioning. I don't know if he can sustain this for a whole season. It almost feels like he's limiting himself to make it through the whole season and into the postseason when it matters.
Well, would that be wrong? Isn't that what Kawhi Leonard did last year, load managing himself? Clint Yates, do you want to weigh in here?
I don't have a problem with that. And also, I think it reflects an overall attitude that maybe he just doesn't really like it that much. And that's okay, because that doesn't matter in order for him to dominate. And that's what the whole point is here. If the Sixers can motivate him to simply be good, forget about whether or not he's enjoying his time, they are going to get one of the most tremendous players, probably a top 10 player in the entire league. So whether it's Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal or Elton Brand in the front office or whoever it may be on the bench, if you can make it happen, make it happen. And they figured something out yesterday. And I think that is what you got to
I was looking at Woody's face while you were saying that, Clinton, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, Woody, but it's almost like if you're not in the mood, you get in the mood. The idea that you have to work so hard to motivate somebody. Woody, go ahead.
Well, that's the entire point of it, is that self-motivation should be more important than what Charles Barkley's saying on TV. And he does have a history of injury, so we understand that. If you want load management, that's fine. But on the nights you play, you play. You don't just relax through that game. If you don't want to play, take that load management night off.
We've been horned. We'll move on. Stay on the court, though. Tonight, big game. Lakers at Heat. L.A. is 22-3. Miami's 18-6. But Miami is 11-0 at home. They're a good team. Maybe there's a little Miami flu in there. Sarah, what are you watching for tonight?
I'm really interested to see how they face up against a team like the Lakers. They have some good wins. They absolutely destroyed the Rockets. Yeah, they beat the Bucks on the road. But they lost to the Lakers. And the Lakers are sort of the standard for the league right now. I know the Heat have outperformed expectations in the East. They've beaten bad teams. They've been great at home. But can they beat a team that we think is, you know, the best? And that's what I want to see if I want to elevate them above the Bucks in terms of the East's best.
Emily?
I love the fact that LeBron coming back to Miami is no longer a storyline. For me, this is a Lakers team that is kind of what we thought they were. They're led by LeBron. They're led by Anthony Davis. It's really top heavy. The Miami Heat, meanwhile, are a team that's winning because they're getting a ton of depth production. Seven guys are in double-digit figures. So this is really just a clash of styles. And like Sarah said, it's a barometer for how they actually face against the top teams in the league.
And you think a game in December can give you a read on that? Okay. Clint Yates, how about you?
It can give you a read on who's going to be a contributor down the line, as Emily pointed out. And one of those guys is Tyler Hero. This dude has been a monster. He's been lighting it up for the past 10 games, and they've been shooting the ball incredibly. So that's why I think this can still continue tonight. I mean, look, the Lakers are the best team in the league, but they also have a better road record than they do a home record. So that whole situation about the Heat not, you know, winning a game at home, losing a game at home, I don't think it's going to matter too much. I think the Lakers win this, but I think it's going to be closer than most people.
Woody Page.
I'm not sure this could be close. Emily, you're talking about the wins they have. Sure, if the five of us were playing Charlotte and Washington every night and those
dogs.
There's
a win against Milwaukee. There's a win against Houston for Miami this year.
Oh, sure, they backed into a couple of lucky nights. But I'm talking about against Western Conference. I want to see them come to a Western Conference road trip, and let's see how that works out for them. I'm not impressed. What do I want to see? I would like to see them hang into the game, but I don't think it's going to happen.
That's Woody's take. I think they have a win at Phoenix. You know, Phoenix isn't the Lakers, but it's a win at Phoenix this year against the Lakers.
You're right.
All right.
You're right. Let's see the Clippers.
Breaking real quick. This play last night, Doncic and Porzingis and Dunk. Woo. Look at the photo. Does it remind you of anything?
Yeah, I know. Wayne Wade.
Yeah, does it? You're going to compare it to the Wade LeBron?
Yep. Huh?
I still think Wade LeBron picture is better. Still think it's better. Fire cell next.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Let's dip into week 15 of the NFL season. The AFC South, as always, impossible to read. Does anybody know what Texans or Titans will show up this weekend?
Sure.
Yeah, thank you, Woody, because it's not a rhetorical question. Houston at Tennessee. Who will show up, Clinton Yates?
I think it's going to be the Texans. When you have a situation in which execution is up for grabs between the two, talent is what leads out. Houston's a better football.
Woody Page?
The Tennesseans are going to show up because over the last eight games, Tony, they've averaged 31.5 points per game. That's second in the league. And Tannehill has been outstanding. As long as he can stay healthy, they're in good shape. And Texans, I saw them last weekend. They're up and down defensively. They're going to give up a lot of
that
points.
That loss to Denver last week is one of the biggest eggs of the season. Sarah Spain, who shows up Sunday?
Texans might be more talented, but they're inconsistent, and the Titans are built to beat them if they go pass aggressive and not just deep balls. Ryan Tannehill, 80% on his short passes. The Texans, 30th in short pass defense. If they just keep using the pass against them, the Titans will win.
How about the stat work from Sarah Spain there? Emily Kaplan, who shows up Sunday?
Indeed, it's not your father's Ryan Tannehill. He's been a much different quarterback since he became the starter, and they're a much more balanced attack. Derrick Henry has been incredibly effective, even without having to practice. And if you stack the box against them, Ryan Tannehill can get it done. So I'm picking the Titans.
Not my father's Tannehill. You know, I have a theory on Ryan Tannehill, Emily, that he masquerades. He's an Englishman masquerading as an NFL player. Mr. Tannehill, order, order. We move on. Let me try something here. I did this a few weeks ago. Panel, just say the words Buffalo Bills.
Buffalo Bills.
There we go. You mentioned the Buffalo Bills in a positive light. You people. And now you get your mutes back. Never mentioned the Bills. Well, Steelers-Bills flexed Sunday night. And this is going to go a long way for picture clarity in the AFC. Who's showing up to this one, Sarah Spain?
I have mentioned the Bills. This is another opportunity for them to get a win that they should against a third-string quarterback in the Steelers. Steelers technically have more to gain from this because they have a worse record, but they're playing with house money. They've had so many injuries no one expected this much. The Bills have had a great season. They need to get wins like this to keep it up.
I know you've mentioned the Bills because you often say the Bills haven't beaten anybody of any matter with a winning record. That's what you typically say when you mention them. Go ahead, Emily Kaplan.
Who's going to show up as Buffalo fans because they always track well when they are on national TV. It was the highest rated Thanksgiving game in a decade when the Bills played. But look, Buffalo's defense has been so good. If they can't get it done against a third string quarterback, no Juju Smith-Schuster, and no 400-yard rusher on the team, then they should be embarrassed.
This game is in Pittsburgh, so those Bills fans are traveling and watching. Well, how about you, Clint Yates?
This is a much bigger game for the Steelers. Are we forgetting that the most explosive play of the NFL season happened to this team and it looked like their season was completely in the garbage?
Lamar
if they managed to win
play,
this game and get into the playoffs, you know what I'm saying? Like this could be one of the best seasons that Tomlin's ever had. The guy's already got two Super Bowls. He's done a heck of a job.
You've got Pittsburgh this week?
Yeah.
I do have Pittsburgh this week. I think they pull it together because they have to have it in order to be a contender.
And Woody Page? Honestly.
I agree with Clinton. It's the Steelers. Tomlin is runaway coach of the year with what he's had to deal with this year. And you're talking about a team that wants that number five wild card spot, which they'll get if they beat Buffalo. You'll be playing the Texans or Tennessee instead of playing one of those top three.
Hold on a second. Hold on. That's the second time you've done this. Are we sure Woody knows the name of the team is the Titans? And not the Tennessee. Are we sure
Tennessee
of that? You just said they were so good, and now you're like, oh, you want to play them. Real quick, since you brought up the coaching, McDermott and Tomlin at the same university. Does anybody know where they come from, their alma mater, where they played together?
William and Mary.
And I'll give you a point for being a little bit late there, Woody, on the draw, but that's okay.
Try.
We'll move on. Rams, Cowboys, Philly, Washington, Giants, Dolphins. Those are the matchups for the teams in the NFC East. And here's what we're watching for the last 3 weeks. If everybody would lose out, maybe max out at 6 wins or fewer. That's still in play if there's a tie. That has people in the league talking. And Denver coach Vic Fangio, a solutions-oriented man from Denver, I love those people, he wants to get rid of all divisions and just have two conferences. Woody Page, this is your account. Buy or sell.
Well, he had a lot of pent-up emotions and opinions over 76 years as an NFL assistant coach. But this one is wrong, Vic, and I told him that. Because you want to see the best players from the other conference. You don't want to see the same dog teams every year, and that 16th game was like an appendage, just throwing it on there. He's totally wrong. You do not mess with what is a good system, even though one division's bad.
Yeah, the NFL has remarkable parity and the excitement of getting to face different divisions. Travel and see your team face other superstars. The easy fix is just have the winner of the division not get home field advantage, have the team with the better record get that. That's a lot easier than changing the whole structure.
Emily Kaplan.
Yeah, Vic, speak your truth. If I was in Mahomes' division, I'd want to get rid of divisions, too. Maybe we wouldn't be spending all year talking about the Cowboys and the Eagles mucking it up, and we could have the Bears or the Rams fighting for a playoff spot.
Clint Yates.
Vic could not be more wrong about this. The one thing the NFL has going for it is a clean-cut math system when it comes to divisions and playoffs and how everything breaks down. Messing that up for the sake of some proverbial competition would be completely idiotic on all levels.
This is just going to help your scoring average, Clint Yates. It's not going to get you into the shutdown, but did you make it to 20? All right, Woody Page, Sarah Spain, Emily Kaplan. This is a tight one today. Woody passing Sarah. in the right lane on the last one. Have a great weekend, guys. Woody Page, Emily Kaplan, wow. Showdown next. Unless somebody gets the dreaded avocado poisoning. So Drummond was questionable to play, but he did play. And this is how boomers get millennials back for OK Boomer, right? Get him where it hurts. Avocado toast. Port.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Woody Page, Emily Kaplan in Showdown, and we start with hockey. Yes, look at Emily's face, look at Woody's face. Scoring the game-winning goal in overtime when it caroms off of a loose stick versus the full length of the ice. Look at this shot. Look at this camera work, too. You're showing down the better goal, and yes, we are showing down hockey, Woody Page, as you compete against Emily Kaplan. Go ahead, you're first, Joel. I'll give you the honor.
It's the stick getting the assist. They bring fans out of the stands to shoot those long-distance shots for $1,000, and they do it all the time. When you have an inanimate object that is helping you score, I think that's important.
Okay. Emily?
No, Woody, yes. It was impressive that Brock Besser careened it off of it, but what Filip Hronek did was pretty damn impressive. I know sticks are whippy these days, but this was the Detroit Red Wings' first win in a month. That matters.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm gonna err on the side of animate objects and not inanimate objects. Boy, Emily Kaplan. We're gonna move on to Showdown 2. Who did it better, Luca or Blake?
It's a pleasure for us to be here. Thank you for the reception, and I hope you enjoy the game. And one more thing, we are Mexico, way.
Hola, Mexico.
And he got a big laugh. All right, so Emily, who did it better, Luca or Blake?
It's obviously Luca. Look, I spend a lot of time in French-speaking areas being a hockey writer, and my French does not sound anything like that. It's more like, sorry, je suis American, so
Emily,
Luca, I'm impressed.
It was obviously Blake. Donde está la biblioteca? Muy bien, Blake. Caramba, se me adora el
poder. All right. I don't speak French, Emily. I don't really understand. I definitely don't speak Woody. FaceTime goes to Kaplan, 30 seconds here.
I'm in D.C. right now where Tim Thomas, the former goalie of the Boston Bruins, was elected to the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame. And you know what? Yesterday was a reminder for me about empathy. Tim Thomas has been out of the public eye since he stopped playing hockey in 2014, and a lot of us have made jokes about maybe he's in a bunker somewhere hiding, maybe it's because of his political beliefs. But he revealed yesterday he has been suffering severely from effects of a concussion in 2014. It has affected his brain and his brain function. It's affected the way he's been able to sustain relationships. And it really just was a reminder to me that if you don't know what's going on with somebody, just shut your mouth and let them talk. So all the best to Tim Thomas and continue to help.
Well said, Emily. I saw the piece. It was really, really tough to watch. You're right about that. All right, we're on a 71.5-hour break. Woody Page, I believe you have a message to Slippery Rock.
Yes, a week ago I jumped on their bandwagon. They beat Notre Dame of Ohio, and they're playing Minnesota State tomorrow. They are leaving me a ticket. Go Rock!